I'm not a gardener per se. Some would say that I'm much more like a barbarian when it comes to gardening. If it's growing where I don't want it, that's a weed. But I know I've been around people that garden, and I've seen a few things. If you have a potted plant, and it's struggling and it's not making it, and it has overly dry, non-correctly amended soil. Is that the way I would say that? Am I saying that right, Lowell? You're laughing at me already. Okay, either way. I'm more than willing to just have that heaped on me. That's all good. But you've got a plant, and it's in a pot, and it's not doing well, and it's root-bound, and the soil's not any good, and you're not watering it right. Anybody ever had a plant like that? Yeah, I have. Yeah, you too. And then you decide, I'm going to fix this situation, and you take it out of the pot, and you get it the right soil, and you get it into a right size thing, and you take care of it, and you water it. What's the minimum expectation for that plant? That it would have life. See, my minimum expectation is that it will remain in the pot I put it in. Right, I'm not going to come back the next day and have it back in the other pot. It's not going to jump ship and do that. But if you're doing that to a pot and you're a potted plant or a plant of any kind and you're moving it and transplanting it and it's getting better soil and all that, the minimum sort of expectation is it will thrive and grow and live. For those gardeners, I see some of this going on. Okay, good. Thank you. We had a story. Karen's a gardener. I sort of stay out of her way generally. But she had a plant that a friend gave her before we were pastor and pastor's wife in the Tri-Cities, and it was doing pretty good in the Tri-Cities, sandy soil, and she moved part of it and took it to the Palouse and put it in that deep, low-S soil. I think it was a catmint or something like that. It was catmint. And in the Tri-Cities, it had kind of made a nice little round shape about this tall. In the deep, low-S soil of the Palouse, it was about this tall. Proper soil. Proper technique. Now we're ready to hear from the Gospel of John. If you can think that way about plants being transplanted into better situations, the minimum requirement from even somebody that wouldn't do it right is that they would remain in that pot that you moved it to. They're not going to get up and move. But if it's done well, you're going to see growth and change and flourishing. Yes? Okay, good. We're all on the same page. Can you bring my slide up? We've been working away on the Gospel of John's prologue, and we're right down in the middle of it, right here. We've done everything above the bright blue, and we've done everything below, and we're still right here in this spot. Let me read what's in the blue and the yellow for you, and that is, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who have believed in him and accepted him, that's the top blue, he gave the right to become children of God. That's the yellow. Down below, this is what happens to those who believed and accepted him, or believed and received him, as some of the translation. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. A birth that comes from God. A transplanting, if you will. I used this example a couple weeks ago. Thank you for the slide that was up. I used this example. If you're in high school or you're in something and you're nominated for class president, does that make you class president? No. So you have to, at some point in time, come up and accept the nomination. Once accepting the nomination, are you then class president? No, you kind of have to run for it, don't you? There's usually an election after the nomination. What happens if you come up and say, I want to be class president, and nobody nominates you? Nothing. Most of the time, in most of the world's ways, that sort of person, I want to be in charge. That's probably the person you don't want in charge. That's kind of the way it is. Now, sometimes you need somebody to come up and say, you know, they get drafted into a role. I'm not saying that. But anyway, here we are. We are in this. To all who believed and received him, he gave the right to become children of God. That's right at the center. The whole point of the Gospel of John is this thing, that if you believe and receive. So in my analogy so far, the believe is that you've become transplanted. You're in a different pot. You went from a situation that didn't work, wasn't going to work, was never going to work, and hadn't been working, into a spot that could work, that the tending and care for your life has begun to happen. And the very minimum is you've accepted that. But God's expectations is that not only will you remain in the pot he transplanted you to, but there'll be some flourishing going on. There'll be some change, some growth, some incorporation. You will receive the transplant. I'm looking at all these faces and I'm wondering, am I speaking English this morning? Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Good. Because if you want to be class president and you're nominated, you say, I want to do that, but you refuse to do any of the work for the nomination, you did get nominated. You had the right to do it, but you didn't get there. What does it mean to believe and receive? And I'm not into this sort of argument right now that between sort of quasi-James, you know, if you got to be doers of the word or you're not saved, or Paul on the other side saying, look, you're justified by faith. That is not what's going on here. That, by the way, that argument, if you've ever been around that argument, those two authors are not arguing with each other. They're talking to different audiences about different things. And we on the other side from outside the argument go, they're arguing with each other. No, they're not. Paul is saying, look, by grace you've been given this thing, you're justified by faith. What is faith, by the way? Anybody know what faith is? You got a verse in your head about faith, but with a definition of faith? Hebrews 11, 1. Evidence of things not seen. What is faith? It's evidence that you've been repotted. You've been transplanted. You've been transformed. You're not justified by the belief that faith justifies stuff. You're not justified by that. I know the Bible says you're justified by faith, but you're not justified by the belief that faith works. You're justified that when you have faith that Jesus did what he said he was going to do, and that faith is evidence of your belief and your structure changes, you've been repotted. So no belief over here. I'm in the root-bound, dry pot that Dave's caring for, because that's the way plants that Dave cares for them go. Suddenly I'm over here and I'm in the pot that Karen cares for, that she'll water, that she'll take care of. That's the difference. The gardener is different. The pot is different. The soil is different. The expectation is different. This is not justified by faith. This is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It is by grace you are saved, that through faith you might be redeemed. That's not the exact quote, so let me bring up Ephesians 2 and give you the exact one, because I'm just realizing that I did that one badly. It won't be the last time I misquote a verse, but I usually know I do it. So Hebrews... Ephesians. Do you know how to find Ephesians in the Bible? Right after Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it's God's electric power company. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Anyway. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's not even your faith that saves you. You were saved by grace. And then through that grace, the faith brings you into proper relationship. But what does it mean? What do I mean by believe? Okay, so we've done the believe, right? That God gave you this tremendous gift. You've opened the gift. You're in the new pot. You're saved. You believed it. Now receive it. And the receiving isn't, by the way, if you just do it, God will just pour this stuff on top of you. If you just sit in the right spot long enough, that's one of the fallacies of church life. I call them pew potatoes, right? They come to Christ and they sit in the pew the whole life and they think, that's the full blessing that God has for me. Really? I mean, let's just think about these pews for a second. You know that modern furniture builders don't really build pews anymore, do they? They're kind of a relic of a different time. And while these have padding, not all pews do, right? These are more comfortable than some. And these don't always work for everybody. There are people in our church that have back problems that can't actually sit in these pews comfortably. But if that's the full measure of your faith in Christ, that you could come sit on these pews, these are pretty nice pews. But that's not the full measure. Let's say we all had the Barco loungers, or we were in the theater now and we had all those recliners and fancy. Even if our pews were the recliners and fancy and super and had their own speakers and, you know, the feet tipped up, that wouldn't be the full measure of what your call to faith is. Now, as long as we're doing this believe and receive thing, you're in the pot. And there's some, I think God has some reasonable expectations that you will flourish. I mean, after all, He's tending you. He's taking care of those things that you need and provided you a brand new start. But what happens if He comes upon you, as the parable says, He comes upon a fig tree as He's walking through? I was searching frantically for this reference this morning as it was coming to mind, and I was thinking, where's that verse? Where's that verse? And I just didn't get the address, and I found five verses that were kind of like it, but not it. But so Jesus walks past this fig tree, and it's full of leaves. It's semi-flourished. No fruit. Semi-flourished, right? It looks good. It's just not producing anything. What does He say? Let's take that, the gardener says to that, let's take around that roots and sort of fix the roots a little bit and tend to it a little bit and give it a couple times, right? We'll give it a couple years or seasons to see whether or not it comes around. And if it doesn't, what do you do if you're a gardener with a plant that you're expecting certain stuff from and you never, ever get it? Yes. Say it. You what it? Say it. You add fertilizer, right? You've done that. Let's say, okay, so it has a history of being pretty, but you need apples. And you don't get apples. And if you got apples, they were always worming, even if you did all the appropriate things to get rid of the worms. Because that's the problem with apple trees, isn't it? And for year after year after year, you tend it, and all you get is nothing but leaves. What do you do with that apple tree? Come on. You cut it down, and you give it space to something that will produce. Or spray it, he says. How, Or maybe, I mean, let's say for instance, even if you've done all those things, you've brought in bees hives in order to, right? You've done everything you can. You even made sure that you had appropriate apple species around it. The believe got the apple tree in the ground properly. But for us, the receive is, can we become what God wants us to do? Can we flourish then? Look, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's both in Proverbs and Matthew. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What does that mean? That sooner or later, if you've got something icky in your heart towards somebody, what's going to happen? It's going to come out of your mouth at some point in time. And if you don't want something icky coming out of your mouth, when you recognize it's in your heart, what do you need to do? Deal with it. Go get help. Seek forgiveness. Go, because otherwise, if it sits there and it collects in your heart for long enough, it's going to collect other issues, and out of your mouth it comes. That's just reality, isn't it? But the truth is out of your beliefs, your life speaks. If you believe, you're in this new pot, and you think, that's all that's expected of me, out of that belief that that's all expected of you, your life will then speak. This is not the easiest thing in the world to say to you. But if you take your checkbook and you open it up and you spend money all over the place, I could see what your priorities are. This is where you've spent your money. If you treat people a certain way, I can see what your belief about how people can be treated is. If you've been transplanted and believe you deserve it more than somebody else, sooner or later, you will sit there and say, I deserve that, and they didn't. But the reason it's a believe and receive and a gift of faith is not of itself. The faith is evidence. Faith that's alive does stuff. It flourishes. It does things in your life. It changes your life. You must be changed, or your beliefs didn't actually change. Let me say that again. If you come to Christ and nothing changes, your belief, your faith didn't actually change. It was like I repotted the plant and I came back the next day and it had jumped out of the nice pot back into the nasty one. Said, no, I like my nasty plant. It's got no water. I'm happy here. No expectations. No future, but no expectations. Over here, how do we do this thing when we're doing John and he gives you the right to become children of God, and he says to all who believed and received became children of God, they are reborn. And it's not of themselves, but God's work in them. But if you're reborn, there's more expectations than you'll be sitting in the same pot for the rest of your life. The truth of gardening is if that plant flourishes well enough and does that, then pretty soon it's gonna need some new surroundings. That God, who's good at what he does, takes care and continues to amend the soil and take care of it so that anything flourishing is better. And the scripture actually says that he then comes up and prunes off the stuff that isn't working so that it can be even better. But this is not of human passion, but this comes from God. And you sit there loving your faith. I love faith too. It's evidence that something's actually happened. That's the witness of Scripture, not something I cling to, but I got faith. As we leave this place today, can we let our life speak out of the reality that the gift of the new location was so great and so undeserved that I can't look on somebody else that might get a new pot and go, well, my pot's better than theirs. They didn't deserve that pot. That pot would be better if it were blue. The gift of grace, by grace you have been saved. You were given a chance to be changed, and you accept it. Now receive that and live out of it. Not as a way of earning it, but out of gratefulness. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for each and every one who's here today. Thank you for your work in my life, for your work in their life, for your work that transplants, that transforms, that gives us a new life. Or as the Old Testament would say, Lord, I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to follow my decrees. Amen.